Welcome back, everyone. I am Cass PNC. I'm joined as usual by my partner in crime, Mr. Bennett Tomlin. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Cass?
I'm doing good. We are talking about something that I'm just kind of shocked we've never discussed at length before. I know it's come up here and there. We're going to talk about Deltek Bank and Trust, which is a bank out in the Bahamas. And they own a lot of companies throughout the Caribbean. They've existed for a long time. Their history is interesting and it gets into weird conspiracy land like rather quickly. And I'm not one to buy into those conspiracies, to be quite honest. But I think even just going back to the more recent history of Deltek and their association with our favorite cryptocurrency in the world, Tether, USDT. I believe that there's been some level of disassociation more recently. I believe there's other banks that have stepped in to kind of take over the role of the main bank of Tether. But I actually think it's good for us to start with the actual recent history of Deltek Bank, which is that John Chalapin purchased this bank in the 1990s, I believe. Anyone unfamiliar with John Chalapin, he is not a banker he is now, but he was not known as like a banker, a finance guy. He was known as the creator of Inspector Gadget. He's a French guy, creator of Inspector Gadget, and had made money via his syndication of Inspector Gadget and other cartoons, and had sold his entertainment business for a significant amount of money. I believe it had IPO'd, and then it got purchased by another company, and then he bought this bank in the Caribbean and suddenly became a banker and a finance guy. Can we try to dissect what Deltek has been up to since he took charge?
For most of the time since he took charge, it seemed as though Deltek wasn't doing that much. They were growing somewhat slowly. They had a few billion in terms of total assets and total deposits under their management. And that seemed to be mostly true until the summer of 2018, when Tether and Bitfinex, after having been cut off from many of their other banking partners, ended up establishing a relationship with Jean Chalapin and Deltek Bank and Trust. And this relationship was critical for Bitfinex and Tether in this era, so much so that you see like Paulo Arduino briefly serve as a director for Delchain. You see the Fulgur Alpha, a hedge fund associated with Delchain, get onboarded onto Bitfinex in this era. And most importantly, in November 1st, 2018, Deltek Bank and Trust published a letter which claimed that the portfolio cash value of Tether's holdings was greater than the number of Tethers in circulation. And at the time, this was important because there was a lot of doubt about the assets Tether had, their quality, their quantity, their encumbrance. And the day after this letter was published on November 2nd, Bitfinex takes hundreds of millions of dollars out of Tether's account, continuing the incestuous relationship between these two sister firms. Deltek continued to serve as Tether's bank of choice for the next several years, aiding and abetting their growth to now $100 billion size. And part of the reason Deltek was so useful is because they were willing to also service a variety of other cryptocurrency firms. The most important one that we're going to be talking about today is Alameda Research, Sam Bankman-Fried's now defunct proprietary trading desk and embezzlement machine. Alameda Research banked at Deltek and was also Tether's number one client. There are some allegations in a recent class action lawsuit filed in the Southern District of Florida, which provides some additional color on the relationship between Alameda Research, FTX, Deltek, and Tether that I think we're going to get into. But the most important thing to just understand off the jump is starting in the summer of 2018, up until probably like the collapse of Alameda Research, Deltek Bank and Trust made itself one of the most important banks in cryptocurrency, and they had dreams of becoming even more important. Like we talked about in our Moonstone episode, Jean Chalapin went out and purchased an American bank as well, which had FTX deposits, which Alameda Research invested in, which eventually got in trouble for, you know, not telling the Federal Reserve about what they were doing and things like that. We'll get into that as well. Also go back to our last Moonstone episode. But in short, Deltek Bank and Trust became the preeminent cryptocurrency bank, the preeminent cryptocurrency insurer. They run their own cryptocurrency business, and are fundamentally tied into the operations of so many of these different firms.
What I find to be really funny is if you go to Deltek's Twitter account right now, the last tweet, I guess it's a retweet, the last thing that they've tweeted out essentially is from the Nassau Guardian, Nassau being the capital of the Bahamas. So this is one of the newspapers in the Bahamas. And they are reporting in November of 2022 that Deltek Bank and Trust, one of the largest financial institutions in the Bahamas, said in a statement on its website last week that it has no credit or asset exposure to collapsed cryptocurrency exchange FTX. So it's just kind of lovely to be reminded how this bank, just the last thing they even publicly have really done was say that they had nothing to do with FTX, nothing to do with Sam Bankman-Fried. And now we're finding out just over a year later that they definitely had a lot to do with them.
Yeah, I think we should talk a little bit about what that relationship looked like. Our friend Gregory Pepin, the former deputy CEO of Deltek Bank and Trust, was the primary point of contact for FTX and Alameda Research, according to the allegations in this complaint, which are based on thousands of text messages Carolyn Ellison shared as part of her settlement to get out of this class action lawsuit. There's a lot of allegations in those text messages and in those lawsuits, including that, like, Deltek at one point got questions from, I think it was Citibank, about what the FTX and Alameda Research accounts was doing. And Greg Pepin just handed those questions over to Alameda Research and then, like, offered to populate invoices for them to explain why certain deposits and withdrawals were coming in and out of the accounts. And the other thing to remember is that this was basically an entirely manual process. Deltek wanted to be able to offer intra-account settlement like Signature and Silvergate could, where you could easily move funds between accounts at the same bank really quickly. But instead of developing a technological solution that enabled that, they put Greg in charge of it and had people text Greg when they wanted to move money. And so every so often they would need to reconcile these various wires coming like into the Alameda Research account that were supposed to be attributed to FTX, or funds at FTX that were, you know, many hundreds of millions of dollars that needed to get moved over to the Alameda Research account for totally legitimate reasons. And so when this would happen, our friend Greg Pepin would hop in a Telegram chat he had with a bunch of Alameda Research and FTX executives and declare that it was money time. And when it was money time, Greg Pepin would ask the executives at Alameda Research and FTX to explain which of these wires that were coming into the same accounts were meant to go to FTX and which ones were meant to go to Alameda Research. And he would even sometimes joke about how he was going above and beyond to provide this service, saying things like, what, Silvergate doesn't work at 10:38 p.m. and postpone their evening movies to review wires? And yeah, of course they don't, Greg. Of course they don't. Overall, the allegations talk about how Deltek was instrumental in the physical movement of the funds from FTX to Alameda Research, and also offered other special privileges to Alameda Research as it pertains to Tether that we'll get into. But, like, just at the most basic, Greg Pepin was hopping into a Telegram chat, shouting it was money time, and then helping move customer funds from FTX to Alameda Research. Allegedly, of course, Greg. Allegedly. Don't worry.
So I don't usually talk about our tweets with these people because it's kind of like whatever, but as you said, so I'm reading the Protos article about this, and it says Pepin wanted to vouch for Alameda publicly at one point, stating there's people coming to me about Alameda insolvency shit. I'm pushing back and say it's BS. However, seems to grow a bit those FUD. Are you okay if I come out more publicly attacking people on Twitter when I see and divert attention with people ping me? By the way, there's some additions in there from Protos. But I'm just thinking about how I tweeted out about this in November of 2022. And I said, has anyone had an opportunity to speak to the lads at Deltek Bank? How are they holding up? And Kyle, buddy of ours, Kyle, screenshotted Greg saying FUD stages for dummies. Some people asked me if they were any worry about FTX. My regular tweets are sufficient to show I have zero concern. And that this guy then goes on to say, why are you pinging me in this thread? I believe FTX was solvent like the overwhelming majority of the industry. And I was wrong, and I admit I was wrong, and didn't shy away from admitting. Tons of people lost money by depositing funds with them, me included. Not sure what is funny here or amusing to poke. And I asked him, what kind of exposure did Deltek and Delchain have? And he said, that's been answered, and that there's been no impact, no exposure from this event. And I think that's just like patently false.
I also want to talk about the reporting from CoinDesk leading up to all this made it pretty abundantly clear that Alameda Research was insolvent. Like, taking the balance sheets that CoinDesk was reviewing at that point, Alameda Research was valuing assets at more than the entire market cap for those assets at that time. There was evidence just in that Alameda Research was insolvent. Yet Greg, the deputy CEO of a bank with many billions of dollars under their management, looked at that and said, this is clearly FUD.
Yeah.
Not to say Greg is, you know, not qualified for his job or anything, but, you know, maybe Greg should have read the articles before calling it FUD.
I mean, I just hope he's not doing due diligence for Deltek, because
speaking,
that's the due diligence.
Sorry to interrupt you, but speaking of his tweets in this era when FTX was declaring bankruptcy, my personal favorite from Greg was November 12th, when he says, question for bankruptcy specialist, is there any precedent of bankruptcy that would involve so many companies and, more important, so many creditors spread all over the world, as here we are likely dealing with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of FTX users as creditors? He didn't have a good handle on this situation while he was actively defending FTX and Alameda Research.
Yeah, well, he's certainly disappeared since this lawsuit made some waves. So he gets quiet whenever these situations present themselves.
Well, and he's been quiet kind of since the failure of Moonstone and like the distancing of the, what was it, Innovative Financial Services Group or whatever, that was supposed to do like the digital banking tied to Moonstone that he was connected to. And now he's spending most of his time over at, what's it, Theravectus, the biotech company or whatever that he's connected to.
Look, not we shouldn't. Important. We don't need
to
get it.
Is not the point of this lawsuit.
Not at all. And but I do think that it's certainly interesting that it has caused a chilling effect on the normally loud folks over there at Deltek. And I do think that a lot of these simple back and forths that you mention, I guess, regardless of how the lawsuit turns out, you know, like, we do have some evidence here that these guys, they were working together in a very, very, very cushy relationship, right? Especially for bankers and their clients. It's not necessarily how you would expect them to be behaving.
Feels inappropriately intimate.
That's right. But maybe we're just not, we're not dealing with billions of dollars. Perhaps that is how billions of dollars are handled at banks. I have no idea.
Our bankers don't care about us because we're thousandaires. I think we should also talk about the allegations about the line of credit that as it was related to Tether and Alameda Research. The lawsuit alleges that Alameda Research was able to consistently sell Tethers for more than a dollar. We've hinted a little bit at this podcast before on what some of those activities likely were. Capital flight and money laundering and things like that. We've talked about Sam Bankman-Fried's ownership of other trading desks like Genesis Block and Hivex and how that was important for moving the funds, but also in terms of opening up markets where they could reliably sell tethers. And so because Deltek recognized that Alameda Research was able to sell these tethers into these markets, they started extending an effective revolving line of credit to Alameda Research, where Alameda Research could have Deltek basically transfer money they didn't have yet over to Tether. They would get the tethers, they would sell the tethers, and then they would return the funds they got from selling the tethers to Deltek, who would then return them to, and everyone's got their money at that point then. At some points, this line of credit seemed to exceed $2 billion borrowed, was tracked kind of manually, seemingly, and this specific arrangement likely tied to the fiat integration agreement that Alameda Research has with iFinix, which occurred at almost exactly the same time, seems to correspond with Alameda Research just ballooning in terms of the total number of tethers they issued and their like importance as this like tether client. I think that suggests that Deltek had this very critical role in enabling Alameda Research to become this massive tether client.
And I want to actually, like, this does touch on something that our last episode about Tether getting essentially to $100 billion market cap, whatever we want to call it. But this goes back to this idea of people saying, haha, see, there's nothing wrong with Tether, I told you so. And being able to point to evidence, like hard evidence, saying, no, actually, you know what the truth was that they were utilizing tethers exactly the way people have been claiming for a long time, which goes back to things like being unable to get an audit because of this, where if you are handing out loans with money that you don't have to buy assets and then quickly arbitrage those assets and make money on it so that you're now backing the funds that you call the loans back into, that like there is something deeply wrong with that. There's something deeply, deeply wrong with that picture. And that is actually the picture we're seeing painted here. Like, it is undeniable that this is the kind of stuff that was happening, at least at certain given points in time, in Tether's history, in FTX's history, in Bitfinex's history.
And what's particularly interesting to me is how this seems to be almost a formalizing of a pre-existing Tether arrangement. If we go back to the CFTC settlement with Tether, they talk about how Tether at times was backed by anticipated wire transfers. So Tether would send you the tethers before they actually got the money, because they knew you were going to send it on Monday, right? As soon as you could get to the bank, you were going to send that money. So they would give you the tethers beforehand.
The famous weekend wires.
Yes. What this is basically that same thing, except Tether is now smart enough to keep themselves from being the entity like that's directly extending the credit. They had Deltek effectively stand in as the middleman and extend that same revolving line of credit against the anticipated wire transfers. But now Tether itself is getting the money from Deltek into their account immediately. And so what's interesting to me is that it's that same pattern that they've been doing since, let's say, 2018, 2017, whatever. But now they've added this like bank, this seemingly semi-legitimate institution in the middle of these arrangements that have existed for most of Tether's existence.
I think there's some unfortunate things that people need to realize. And I think you and I realized this probably a lot sooner than other people, which is, so before Tether started banking with Deltek, one of the banking partners they had, I shouldn't even call it a bank because it wasn't a bank. It was what's called an international financial entity called Noble Bank. That was the name of this IFE. And that was their partner that they were relying on, apparently, according to Bloomberg reporting, I believe, or maybe it was Zeke Fox in his book. Apparently, John Betts, the guy who created Noble Bank, decided to shut it down after Giancarlo Devasini wanted to do riskier things with these assets that were being held at Noble. Giancarlo being the CFO of Tether and Bitfinex. So that's when they made their move to Deltek. But I think that's when we realized, especially after Noble immediately shut down thereafter, that this is like such a bigger problem than one bank. Like, even if Deltek, as far as I can recall, this is a civil case that's being brought against them.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah,
about
it's a class action lawsuit.
Class action lawsuit. It's a civil suit. You never know, that could lead to other action possibly, but I'm not holding my breath. I see you there, but hold on. Let me just continue here for a second. In that, I think this is similar to other things where, regardless of how this civil suit turns out, I do think that you have a tarnished reputation a bit for this bank, unfortunately. You know, Jean Chalopin helped craft the DARE Act in the Bahamas, which helped make it a welcoming place for FTX and SBF, which helped kind of lead it to being the center of where this fraud was being committed. So I do think that on the island and outside of the island now, you know, this is in my opinion, but it seems like you have a bit of a tarnished reputation for this bank. And Tether had long ago already moved on to CUB, Capital Union Bank.
And Ansbacher and et cetera, et cetera, down the line.
And who knows? Who even knows what
they are? They've got a couple
of
other we know of. But.
Yeah. And there's probably new ones that they're trying to work with every single day. But that in turn is part of the issue, right? Is that there's likely, I don't know, thousands of these banks, not just in the Caribbean. We're talking about in Eastern Europe, in Asia, in, I'm sure in America, community banks, stuff like that. There and bigger banks too. I'm not going to deny that. Or HSBC, the likes of them. You have banks and money movers who are more than willing to work with these people, regardless of how weird and possibly illegal the transactions may be that are occurring. You know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to call what Deltek was doing for FTX and Tether illegal, but it sure stinks.
Speaking of weird and possibly illegal transactions, the lawsuit mentioned that Alameda's transactions with Bitfinex and Tether would first flow through Deltek Bank's account at Mitsubishi UFJ Trust and Banking Corporation, a Japanese bank. And the lawsuit also mentioned that U.S. authorities seized funds from there in June, which sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole until I discovered a June affidavit which supported the seizure of Deltek Bank funds held at Mitsubishi UFJ Trust and Banking Corporation, related to an investigation into wire fraud, bank fraud, and money laundering. And what makes this really interesting is that it seems Deltek opened what was supposed to be a custodial account at MUFG, but the affidavit suggested Deltek has allowed the account to be used by other third parties in activity that would not reasonably be anticipated in a custody account, and that has allowed individuals to avoid the scrutiny and vetting that international transactions might otherwise receive. This affidavit in specific does not mention FTX, does not mention Alameda Research, does not mention Tether, does mention proceeds from cryptocurrency investment scams, but seems to be a separate money laundering network that is not principally Bitfinex, Tether, Alameda Research, or FTX, just to make that explicitly clear. But what this reveals is that Deltek is, according to this affidavit, kind of doing a crypto capital corp, where they are opening accounts in one name for one stated purpose and using them for other purposes without telling banks. And my understanding, again, as a non-lawyer and especially as a non-prosecutor, is that banks don't like it when other banks lie to them. They take that quite poorly. And so if there is going to be other consequences for Deltek, I think it is unlikely they arise from this class action lawsuit. I think that this likely results in maybe some money Deltek has to give these people, but probably nothing. The more interesting thing to me is that there was this earlier seizure in March through this account that seems to line up with the same type of account that Bitfinex and Tether's funds were flowing from to FTX and Alameda Research. That is the interesting thing to me, and that suggests there may be ongoing criminal or other investigations into activities either by Deltek or by entities that were taking advantage of Deltek practices.
You mentioned Mitsubishi UFJ, and I know that that's one of the largest banks in the world. So this is, I'm sure, not surprising, but I believe that they were also a bank that was utilized by FTX Alameda, right?
Yes.
I guess there's always been talk of the...
the Japan arbitrage, yes.
Well, there's always rumors there were different ones, right? No one, it doesn't seem like anyone has ever nailed down exactly what was going on or how it was happening. But yeah, if it was indeed the Japan arbitrage and he was actually making money at first, then perhaps... yeah, who knows? Sure is interesting that they did have bank accounts with MUFJ. Yeah, that's just interesting. I don't know what it means, but it's very interesting.
We should also mention, besides that, that's the bigger thing. Just for the sake of completion, I want to mention that Farmington State Bank, Moonstone Bank, did file their response. And their response was basically, plaintiffs tried to say, we're Deltek. We're not Deltek. Those texts are about Deltek. We're a whole separate bank that just happens to be owned by the same people. And the executives just happen to be the son of the executives of the other bank. But we're a distinct thing. And we didn't get to do any transfers of FTX or Alameda Research money because we ran out of time. And so we don't want to be in the lawsuit anymore. Again, non-lawyer. But I'll link the thing in the description and you all can read that that's basically what it says.
I guess the most compelling argument there is that, yeah, if you mess with other banks, the other banks might punish you, which is ultimately, or something like FINRA or something like that, where ultimately that's far worse than like a penalty or something, or a civil suit being settled. Like, far worse to have banks say, you know what, we're never going to work with you ever again. Not that that's what's going to happen. We have no idea what's going to happen, or what is happening. I mean, obviously, Deltek is still in business. They're still doing their thing. I assume that they still work with Tether, but who knows?
As far as we know.
Anyway, we just felt like it was important for us to talk about Deltek because it for a long time was one of the main banks of Tether for cryptocurrency in general, I guess. More importantly, it's funny because like a lot of the banks that Tether chooses end up being very important to the cryptocurrency industry in general. I don't think they're necessarily their bank of choice anymore, but it certainly was for a long time. And maybe we'll start talking about other important banks in the cryptocurrency industry. I know a lot of them are gone now. But maybe we can look internationally and talk about those ones instead.